Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're continuing our study here in the Book of Ruth, which we will conclude here, just ending chapter 3, and where Naomi declares to Ruth that for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. And the Naomi understanding the love that this man has for this woman of faith, rising in love to the beauty of her faith, he will finish the matter. And what a beautiful thing it is. Then, chapter 4, verse 1, then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spoke came by, to whom he said, "Oh, such a one, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. Then he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit ye down here." And they sat down. So here we're having a meeting here and witnesses. And of course, it calls on 10 men to sit down as judges and witnesses to the transaction that is about to take place. So he said to the kinsman, "Naomi, that has come out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people, if thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then said Boaz, "What day thou buyest the field in the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." Here's the catch. We get back to that law, the raising up the dead upon his inheritance. And of course, we have the inheritance of the land that's going with this, talking about buying and redeeming the land. But with it comes the wife of the dead, the widow, I should say, of the dead, who has no children. And you have to raise up a son in the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Okay, so we see the law there. And the kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." So he changes his mind. And that is what Boaz was hoping for. Boaz knowing that this would probably be the outcome of it. Now, this was the manner of former time in Israel concerning the redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and thus it was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said to Boaz, "Buy it for thee." So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders of all the people, "Your witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilon's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi." And of course those were the sons of Naomi's husband Elimelech and his sons. And he says, I have bought all their inheritance today. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I have purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. Yahuwah, make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem." So they give him a blessing, and that's the blessing, that the woman that has come into thy house be like Rachel and Leah. Now here we have the definitely in the law of God. What do we practice today in the church? Well, the poor widows, you know, just left out there to roll the dice with the idolatry of romance. And perchance, she may not be able to find a good man. Now, here's what happened. And you see how this is set up. It's so well demonstrated here that a good man would be the one to rise up. A man who didn't care about the law of God, well, he wouldn't rise up. He wouldn't rise up in love to fulfill the law and to take care of the widows and the orphans. And perhaps there would be orphans, as it would happen most of the time, or perhaps, perchance, you know, a good percentage of the time, you'd have a young man die, you know, perhaps in his 20s, 30s, or 40s, having young children, leaving a wife with young children. And of course, leaving his inheritance with the wife and the children. So someone would redeem it. They would take the wife and the children in. And perhaps they already had a wife and children. Perhaps they already had several. Perhaps they already had a widowed wife and children in their family. But it didn't matter. There were no exclusions to the law. And so you see here where the law could command a man to take a second wife. And whether or not Boaz already had a wife, and I'm thinking perhaps he did, because he was an older man. And he exclaimed, you know, that she could have, why didn't she go with a younger, you know, like most people would have. She was a young woman still. Why didn't she go for a younger man? You know, that was his exclamation. But she didn't. She was more interested in a godly man than a good-looking or a younger man. She was more interested in seeking a godly seed. That's what she was more interested in, building the kingdom of God, than following the idolatry of romance. Because, yes, that idolatry existed long before it was called romance. We see it in there in the Old Testament. It said that the sons of God started to look upon the daughters of men, and they started, what, rather than follow the law of God, they started to go after women and to worship the form of the woman and the beauty of the woman, rather than submitting to the obedience of the law of God for marriage. Should we be practicing this today in the church? Absolutely. I say we should. We should be practicing this today in the church. If a woman is widowed with her children, she should be taken in by the brother of the man. But, you know, since no one is willing anymore, that just doesn't happen. They're just left out there to the state. And they have to look to the state for benefits. And perchance, romance may bring them another husband, whether he be godly or not, whether he can raise up a godly seed or not, whether we can continue and further the kingdom of God or not. None of these things matter anymore. It's all about romance and falling in love. That's what it's about today. And so the idolatry of romance has a strong foothold in the church even. And the law of God has been thrown out. Can't have that. Oh, we're not under the law. Oh, that heavy burden. Nonsense. The heavy burden is idolatry and sin. The heavy burden is the law and the ways of man and the ways of the benefits of the state. That's the heavy burden. The heavy burden is all the widows and orphans out there that can't get married again. God provided, and men of obedience would follow the law and wouldn't worry about what other people think. Or worry about the age of someone. Well, you know, I'm not really attracted to my brother's wife. Well, it's, yeah, in romance, it's all about attraction, isn't it? I don't have chemistry with her. Well, it's all about chemistry, is it? No, it's about love. Love is what you do. You do it. You take them in. You take them. You take them as part of your family. You take care of the widows and the orphans. That was the provision in the law for widows and orphans. Let's continue here. So they bless him, and they say, let thy house be like the house of Pharaoh, whom Tamar bore unto Judah, and the seed which Yahuwah shall give thee of this young woman, furthering the kingdom of God. You know, our Heavenly Father blessed this, and now we find that Ruth, what, in the lineage of Christ? this Moabitess woman? Oh, God forbid that they should take a wife of the heathen nations. No, God did not forbid it. She was a woman of faith. God allowed people of faith of any nation to come in and to become as one of the faith of Israel. So much, he demonstrated this so much that she is included, like Tamar. They blessed them, and it's written here. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And the women said to Naomi, Blessed be Yahuwah, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbor, gave it a name, saying, There is born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nashan, and Nashan begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Love. Love is keeping the law. That's what it is. Love is not romance. Love is what you do. It's not what you feel. And you know, for the world and for romance, their highest thing, the highest thing they have is romantic love. And you know, historically and in most instances, that is the physical act of love between a man and a woman. That's the highest thing in the world. And that's what they worship. And now it's not just a physical love an act of love between a man and a woman. Of course, because it's about feelings and emotion, it now can be between a man and a man. That's right. Or a woman and a woman. Why can't they have that too? Well, they can have that. They can have that emotion, and they can have those feelings. They can have that. That's true. You know, I believe that. They can have it. But that's all they could have. And it won't last. I'll tell you what, it's going to die with their mortal flesh because it's all about their mortal flesh. That's what it's all about. So they can have the feelings and the emotion, but it's not according to the law of God. And that's where, so anyone who believes in romance, they cannot deny. And that's why the church is not winning, because they worship the same idolatry that the world worships, that the homosexuals worship, and it's romance. They can romance, a man can romance a man, but he cannot love a man by the law of God in the same way that he loves a woman. Yes, you can love a man. I could, you know, David loved Jonathan. They were friends. There are men that I love as brothers in Christ, and I love them with a godly love, but I'm not going to get in bed with them. I'm not going to break God's law to demonstrate that love, because that would not demonstrate the love. That would be an act of hatred, because I would be drawing them into iniquity, going against God's law. Yes, we live in a world of confusion, in a church that embraces romance over the law of God, over falling, or should I say, they replace falling in love. That is infatuation, because that's what falling in love is. And all those feelings that accompany it, the feelings are real. They are real, but the feelings are not love. The feelings and the emotion are beautiful. And they flood you with endorphins and a feeling of euphoria. That's all real. There's no denying it, that is very real. The feelings are real, and the chemical reactions in your body are real, and the beauty of that is real, and it's a gift from God. And it is to accompany true love according to his law. It is a gift from him that accompanies love, but it is not love. And when you separate it from love, you know, rising in love and doing the works as was demonstrated by Boaz towards Ruth and Naomi, demonstrating that love, and then that love being rewarded because it was lawful. You see that Boaz would not step forward. He would not transgress God's law one foot and take Naomi unlawfully. I mean, take Ruth unlawfully. He would not do it. Even though he was having the feelings, he was not driven by the feelings and emotions, but he allowed the law to rule in his mind and his heart. I have another study if you're interested, and I perhaps should add this study to it because it demonstrates it so fully. And when I did the study on betrothal, marriage, and divorce, and you know, I haven't uploaded that to the site yet where everyone can access it. And I think I will do that this evening. And I have a study on betrothal, marriage, and divorce. And for anyone who's interested in that, look for it tomorrow. If you go to the current archives of this program, and perhaps we covered the entire book of Ruth today in 2 hours, and this will be on the archives later on tonight. And this is coupled with my study on betrothal, marriage, betrothal, and divorce, because those topics in the law are all intertwined and related with one another. So that study, I go through the whole scripture starting from the beginning to the end, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and I've gleaned out of everything I could to fill that study up. But I did not have such a focus on Ruth as I have today, and how important the law is when it comes to love, not to romance, because romance is idolatry, but agape is fulfilling, is love lawfully. That's what agape is. If I could use that term from the Greek and apply it to the kind of love that God has towards us and that he desires us to have toward one another, and that we will not step over the line. Like, I can love my brother. You know, I can love any man. That's right. Lawfully. And that won't lead to homosexuality. I could care for a man too. You know, I could care for a man in his old age, or I could care for an infirm man, but I don't have to marry him. And I can still have the emotions of caring for him, but I cannot transgress God's law, because then it becomes unlawful. So agape is love according to God's law. And see, that is something you cannot have in adultery. That is something that the homosexuals cannot have. They cannot have a lawful agape toward each other. Because the minute they have a lawful agape, they have to put off their sin and part from one another. So they cannot have a lawful agape. Two women, lesbian relationship, they cannot have a lawful agape. It's what they have is real. The feelings and the emotions and the chemical reactions that are taking place in their body and creating this bond. Yes, that can all be very real. And it is very real. It's like a drug, because that's what it is. It's a drug. It produces a drug in your own body, and it's very addictive. And our Heavenly Father created this beautiful addiction, this beautiful drug, as a gift for men and women in marriage, and not for anything else. So anyone in a relationship that is unlawful, you need to repent. First, you need to get out. You need to stop. You need to quit. And you need to repent. And you and whoever your partner is need to be repent. And if you can both repent while you're separated from each other, perhaps the law of God would allow you to come together. But you better consult his law, because you don't want to enter into a sinful relationship. And perhaps the wife, or if someone's living in an adulterous relationship, the wife needs to go back to the husband and be cleared by the husband. If he refuses her, says, I will not have you back, then she's free to marry. That's right. If he's dead, she's free to marry. But there's no way two men can come together under God's law. That's why they have to go to the state, another lawgiver. and get a license from the state to marry, because the law of God will never allow them to marry. Never allow them to marry. Yes, what a shame that people will continue in disobedience and also be deluded into thinking that their marriage is somehow lawful. Well, that's about all I have for today, and we're getting to the end of the hour. You've been listening to Cross the Border. Do stop by my website, find the email link there, and email me. Share these messages with as many people as possible. These archives are free. This archive will be up there later tonight, about 8 hours from now. You'll be able to have this archive on Ruth. It will be repeated on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and LibertyRadioLive.com several times. So you can listen to it again, consult the schedules there, and visit my website, crosstheborder.org, and like I said, email me and share my website with as many people as you can. And as always, in everything you say and everything you do, bless the Heavenly Father's holy name and proclaim it gladly and with joy. Hallelujah.